Coming to you from 4,200 feet in the hills of Oregon, it's the voice of Chi-Town, the reddest beard in the high desert, your host of the Make It Out Alive broadcast, Sam Wilson. All right, folks, how you doing today? We are back with another episode of the MOA broadcast. Let's get right into it. Now we go back for some news. If you've seen the last two episodes, let's jump to one thing first. As mentioned before, here at the MOA broadcast, we remain apolitical. We're not going to get into our politics, your politics, or anyone else's. We just do what the news used to do years ago, which is give you the information, and then you can make your own decision and draw your own conclusion. That being said, sometimes the topics we touch on and discuss are political in nature. Again, in those cases, we just give you the facts. So, in the last two episodes, we've been covering this ongoing saga with the AP, the Associated Press. We don't need to explain it again. It's been covered multiple times. If you haven't caught the last episodes, three and four, I believe, we discuss it fairly in depth there. President Donald Trump changed the name legally. He has the authority to do so from the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. Whether you like it or not, that's the way it is. So we move on, right? For some reason or another, the AP, the Associated Press, they refuse to acknowledge this or to refer to it by the name of the Gulf of America. They're sticking with Gulf of Mexico. So as we covered in last week's episode, they were barred from entering the Oval Office and Air Force One to cover press events. They had to wait outside. They're still able to access the White House. They haven't had their press credentials revoked, but they are unable to get access to those most intimate areas with the president. So we have an update this week. Excuse me. A federal judge on Monday refused to immediately order the White House to restore the Associated Press access to presidential events, saying the news organization had not demonstrated it had suffered any irreparable harm. So basically they had sued the White House or Trump. I don't know exactly who. I think it gets into it later on in the article. Doesn't really matter. But they wanted to get a restraining order to block the White House from preventing them from being having access in those areas. U.S. District Judge Trevor McFadden said the AP had not proven harm requiring an immediate restraining order. But he cautioned the White House that the law wasn't on its side in barring AP over continuing to refer to the Gulf of Mexico, not simply the Gulf of America, as Trump decreed in an executive order. Now, he did this with an executive order along with the Department of the Interior. It was a legal name change. Again, some people are going to like it, some are not. I don't really think many of us spend that much time talking about the Gulf of America or the Gulf of Mexico. But for whatever reason, the AP has decided to get locked into this battle of wills with the White House or Trump or whoever they are doing this with. It seems pretty clearly viewpoint discrimination, McFadden told Brian Hudak, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, a government attorney. With no ruling made, the White House is free to continue barring the AP from the Oval Office and beyond. There is a case it is promised to or is scheduled to be heard later in March when there'll be another hearing. The White House lawyer Hudak said that just because an AP reporter and photographer had long held a place in the White House press pool didn't mean the agency was entitled to it in perpetuity. That's not just special access, that's extra special access, Hudak said, noting that AP journalists continue to access the White House and publish news from events even when its journalists are not present in the room where they happen. The president can choose who to speak with, he says. There is a hearing set for March 20 where additional arguments will be made. So I guess we will see what happens and update you in this ongoing battle of wills between the AP and the White House. Just seems like an odd thing to dig your heels at. I mean, why not just call it the, when you're in America, where they operate, call it what it's legally been changed to here. As we discussed in past episodes, the mapping programs, Google Maps, Apple Maps, they have changed their name to Gulf of America. I just don't see what they really gain out of this long term. I guess if they have a big victory, then that will give them some street cred or whatever, but or maybe bargaining power in future cases. I don't know, but it just seems like an odd thing. I can't remember the last time I've had a conversation about the Gulf. All right, we move on now to Memphis, Tennessee. This is why situational awareness is so important. Okay, police are searching for a man who was seen on video attacking a car with an axe following a collision in Memphis, Tennessee. Another motorist captured video showing an unidentified man wielding an axe and striking another vehicle on Saturday, February 22nd, according to police. In the video, the suspect can be seen striking the side of the vehicle multiple times before stepping away. They take their jacket off, throw it on the ground, stare at the victim, and then they pick their jacket back up and walk away. So what happened? Apparently, the suspect, the axe-wielding man, was rear-ended by another vehicle being driven by a man and his girlfriend. After the collision, the unidentified man whose car was hit exited his vehicle and began yelling at passengers before retrieving an axe. Why in the world would you have an axe in your car? And yes, he has a car. We'll get to that in a moment. I'm from the country. I use an axe all the time. I can see it possibly being there in Memphis, Tennessee. I don't know. Regardless, not illegal. I don't think anyway. But why would you go and get an axe over a rear-end collision? I mean, it's now a problem for insurance to handle. Who knows who had what, who didn't have insurance? We don't know. All we know is that he began to take an axe and chop at the car. I saw the video on the news website I went to. I wasn't able to find it. But I saw the footage on X or Twitter. If you do not have that program, I recommend it personally if you are able to, you know, deal with seeing the raw truth out there. It's called X, used to be called Twitter. The reason I like it is you can get the raw, unfiltered footage. Like we talked about earlier, I don't want some newscaster to tell me what I should think or what I should believe based on the news I see. I would like to see the raw numbers, the raw footage, or hear the raw data. I'll make a decision myself on what I believe about that. And if you watch news on TV versus getting raw footage and things from X or other places, it's shocking the amount of stuff that is just not covered. And many times you'll see footage in a news report, then you watch the whole thing on X. It has been dramatically edited, obviously with a purpose. And we're not going to get into that again. We say apolitical, but clearly some of this footage is sometimes twisted. I would rather have the raw data. I'm an adult. I can make the decision myself. I'll interpret it the way I see fit. And sometimes I'm going to be wrong. Sometimes I'll be right. But what I don't want is someone I've never met who may or may not have a political agenda to decide what I should hear and what I should see and what news is important to me. So anyway, that's that. In the video, you see the guy walk up and strike the vehicle at least two or three times. He busts out the front and back windshield, and I think he takes a few chops at the car along the way. To me, let's see, after vandalizing the victim's car, the suspect got back into his car and drove away. No injuries were reported, according to police. The part that stuck out to me was the people in the car that was literally being chopped up with an axe. They just sat there. Like they could have, and I don't know what exactly went on. You know, it's hard to Monday morning quarterback things when it comes to uses of force or violent situations. You never know what's going on in someone's head. There may be other factors the video doesn't show. Who knows? But the video was taken by somebody in the car behind the accident. There's very clear video of it. And they just sit there. There's no traffic or no substantial traffic in front of them. They could have driven away. I don't know why they chose to stay there while this guy attacked their car with an axe. The first thing I would have done, hopefully, what I think I would have done is, you know, what we call create distance. Get out of there. The guy has an axe. Clearly, he is not acting in soundness of mind in a legal manner. Who knows what he's going to do next? But that was the part that stuck with me. They just sat there while this guy was chopping their car up. So, you know, again, who knows what was going on in their mind and what they had. Maybe they had a plan. I don't know. But they just sat there. The suspect's vehicle was described as a 2012 Chevy Impala. Not going to lie, I'm not quite sure that's the car I'd be willing to go to war over. A 2012, 13 years old Chevy Impala. I mean, I think I would probably just let insurance deal with it. But who knows? his decision. All right, we go to New York City, another one with situational awareness, dealing with road rage. If you look up road rage, this is probably, I haven't ranked these things, but man, there are so many road rage incidents in the United States alone on a daily basis that it's crazy. You can take your pick from stories to go through about road rage. This one takes us to New York City. Let me grab a drink here. Okay. Irate motorist chokes MTA bus driver in New York City road rage attack after fender bender, according to officials. An irate driver slugged and choked an elderly MTA bus driver in a road rage attack in Brooklyn, according to police and transit officials. Siobhan Legal, 25, if I'm pronouncing that right, I don't know, lunged at the 68-year-old B26 driver on Halsey Street near Lewis Avenue in Bedford-Stuyvesant. If you've been to New York, Bedford-Stuyvesant explains a lot. We'll get to that later. After the two vehicles collided in a fender bender around 9:20 a.m., authorities and sources said. So I guess the bus either sideswiped or clipped him. I don't know, but it appears like it was the bus that was at fault. Not sure on that, though. Legal started arguing with the bus driver, then punched him and wrapped his hands around his neck, causing jaw and neck injuries, according to the NYPD and MTA. Keep in mind, this is a fender bender. A fender bender. Legal was arrested at the scene and charged with second-degree assault, strangulation, and criminal obstruction of breathing, police said. New York City Transit President Demetrius Crichlow said in a statement that the suspect jumped over a barrier. So if you've ever seen the inside of a New York MTA bus, they continue to improve these things over the years, but it's almost like a little mini fortress in there. There's plexiglass, and again, we'll get to that in just a minute, but that must be the barrier, I'm guessing, that they're referring to. When they're inside there, they have a plexiglass plate or whatever it's made of, acrylic plexiglass, to protect them from people like this. According to New York City Transit President Demetrius Crichlow, the lunatic who vaulted... lunatic. We used to use that word an awful lot more. Now you hardly hear people say lunatic anymore. It kind of dates you a little bit. The lunatic who vaulted a barrier to viciously punch and strangle a bus operator just trying to move New Yorkers around Brooklyn displayed utter disregard for humanity, decency, and the safety of passengers on that bus, Crichlow said. If you've never been on NYC bus, driver's compartment, oh, here we go, they explain it, has plexiglass barrier, almost like an armored car. It's kind of like when you go into a convenience store in a bad neighborhood, they get that thick plexiglass, bulletproof or not, whatever it's supposed to be. That's what surrounds these little driver's compartment, these buses, because of violent assaults and, you know, people just lose their minds and they take it out. MTA in New York City, they have amazing coverage. If you've never been, they have amazing coverage of the city. But there are delays, there are hobos and derelicts and other people that slow things down. They don't have money, they want to sleep. It can be a very frustrating process, especially if you're trying to get to work or get to some place on MTA, Metro Transit Authority. So I can understand, you know, they want to protect their drivers. Like we talked about last week, man, New York City is getting to be more and more like that movie, Escape from New York. If you've never seen this movie, it was made, I don't know, probably 78, 82, somewhere in there. I'm not exactly sure, maybe even earlier than that. But New York City has become an island prison, Manhattan. Manhattan, you know, if you're from New York. There's a scene where they're driving down Broadway to get to some location. I forget what's going on. Kurt Russell's driving this car. It's some beat up old jalopy type vehicle. They got steel bars across the windshields and windows. There's these freaks and derelicts on the street. They got to go through a whole mob of them. They're throwing Molotov cocktails and bricks and all this kind of stuff, glass bottles. And I mean, it's just like out of some kind of post-apocalyptic nightmare. And, you know, they're going through bombed out buildings and neighborhoods and stuff. That's what New York City is really like now. It's unreal. When you see these news clips, especially on like X, where they don't just show you what they want you to see, like on some other media stations, it's crazy. I was in St. Louis not too long ago. The good neighborhoods were still fine, but I had to drive through a particular neighborhood that was definitely on the rough side. And it looked like something out of the Middle East. Some of these buildings looked like they had been shelled. I've never it was un, I could not understand what's going on. It was like a third world country. I was shocked. Some of these buildings literally they were just blown open, or I don't know what happened, how they got that way. But people on the side of the street, they were sitting there standing there. It was in wintertime, very cold. If you've never been to St. Louis in the winter, it gets very cold there. Bitter winds will cut you like a knife. And so people were sitting there by, barrel fires. These 55-gallon drums are burning trash in to warm their hands. They're walking through the holes in buildings and popping out the other side, sitting there gambling, and throwing dice against the wall. It was like something out of a Charles Bronson, Death Wish movie. It is unreal what some of these cities have become in the United States. As I was leaving, this is when we knew I had someone. We were there to meet somebody and talk about some stuff. And this is when we knew it was time to leave. We saw this guy. It was in the 20s at least, if not lower, Fahrenheit. Okay, so well below freezing. There was a guy in blue jeans and boots walking down the street, no shirt, no jacket, nothing, just waving an AK-47 around. And I saw him in my rearview mirror, and I'm like, there's no way that guy has an AK-47. He did. As he started to fire shots, I knew it was time to leave. But this was broad daylight. It was around noon because we were going to get lunch. And this guy's just firing off a machine gun. And the locals that I was talking to that were with me told me the cops won't even show up. That neighborhood was bad. They won't even show up if you come. So it's crazy. Anyway, back to New York. We are grateful to the NYPD officers who rushed to the scene to arrest this guy. Now it's up to the justice system to make sure he is locked up. Now, this incident happened in Bedford-Stuyvesant, or Bed-Stuy, as they call it. It's a shame this guy didn't keep going just a little bit further out into Queens, because if he had, he could have gone to a place. I don't know if it's still open. Somebody I talked to recently told me it was a place called Sybil's. And there are a lot of Jamaicans, or were, I don't know what it's like now, a lot of Jamaicans out in that area in Queens. And if you've never had a beef patty, it is a Jamaican treat. They're delicious. It's about the size of a large Danish or pastry. And basically, it's like a flaky pastry crust filled with like spiced meat. Usually the meat on the inside is ground beef. It's got just a little bit of spice to it. The pastry, the flaky crust on the outside, has like an orange tinge or appearance to it because they use turmeric with the seasoning in that dough. And it's flaky and crispy, and it's filled with this hot spice. Not real spicy like Mexican food spicy, not real, a lot of kick, but just a little bit of spice to give it some flavor. And usually it's ground beef. I think I had it once with goat, and that was good too, but I don't recall real strongly. It must not have made much of an impression. By far, most of the beef patties I had, though, they were ground beef on the inside. Delicious. Then, and this place, Sybil's, again, I hope they're open. They were great. There was you would take the last stop on the A train, which was Lefferts Boulevard, and you'd walk. I think it was only 10 blocks or so, 130 or 131st, and this place, Sybil's, on the back end there, and you would get beef patties, and if you were really hungry, you would get beef patties with cocoa bread. Cocoa bread is like this fluffy white bread that they would wrap the outside of the beef patty in. And you would get one or two of those, would fill just about anybody up. And then you would wash it down with what's called champagne cola. Absolutely delicious. I haven't had a good Jamaican beef patty in a long time. I hope they're still going and very successful and doing well. But a Jamaican beef patty and with cocoa bread and a champagne cola was, man, what a great treat. So anyway, that's the way it is. We move on. He didn't make it to the beef patties. Okay, we are going to get ready for a break here. When we get back, we're going to discuss again one of the recurring themes, situational awareness. Let's say you're walking down the street. You're walking your dog, you're whatever, taking a walk down the street. All of a sudden, you are attacked by a barking vicious dog, pit bull-sized dog. And then shortly after, you have to deal with an irate owner who may or may not be armed or under the influence. What are you going to do? Are you going to engage? Are you going to run? Are you going to alter the course of your future or the other person's? We'll get into it after the break. More Make It Out Alive with Sam Wilson after this.